IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello there, and welcome back to IRS on the Road.
We're on the road, let's see, the 10, Interstate 10, right?
Yeah, right. We've been on the road for a long time, actually. We're about 2 hours, well, 4 hours altogether today in favor of a tennis match.
People are getting sick of it, you know, but we did have a lot of tennis today. We're in Phoenix, and we're in Gilbert, where one of our daughters, Shawnee, who many of you know, and one of our sons, Josh, both live here, so we're always delighted when there's a reason to come to Arizona. But little did we know that the tournament is in a place called Surprise, Arizona. And it was a surprise that it took an hour and a half
to get
from the other side of Phoenix just to get there.
Right. It is not, I guess Phoenix is big. Anyway, we are glad to be back. We've been on the road for a long time today, but we're happy about two matches.
Well,
a singles match and a doubles match that he won, and now he's playing in the final tomorrow.
The two semifinals, but keep in mind I'm playing really old people.
It is really fun to see a doubles match with four 80-year-olds running around the court. And they really, it's amazing. They get around. You can't imagine. They do so
but
well.
But of course, Rick was by far the most mobile.
Oh, you looked
of the
at least
four.
20 years.
Oh, there we go. There we go. But you know, we just had the most delightful experience. We showed up back here at Shawnee's house just at the very moment that the other two grandparents of these grandkids, we call them the co-grandparents. In this case, their names are Bob and Marva Pothier. They're Dave's parents, who's Shawnee's husband. And there was no planning. They were just dropping by right at the moment we pulled up. So we stood out there on the porch in the driveway, just talking for a while. We had so much to, I mean, when you've got five grandkids that you share in common, you've got the biggest thing in common you could possibly have. I mean, you agree on who the five best grandkids are in the world. And so there we were, just having a great time talking to them, and finally came in the house and just were having the best visit about how special they all are. One of them's in Australia right now, serving as a sister missionary, and she's coming home in just a couple of months, and we couldn't say enough about her. And their youngest one is in there right now, right outside this door, getting ready for her winter formal.
Her day date.
And here's these four proud as punch grandparents sitting there just, you know.
Poor Lucy.
Going a little nuts with how proud we are of those grandkids.
Yeah, that's so fun. But we do love, we happen to just be lucky, I think, to adore all of our co-grandparents. Instead of calling them our grandparents-in-law, that's really long.
Or those rival grandparents.
Those rival grandparents who are taking the time away from us. They are just, we call them co-grandparents, and they're, oh gosh, we've been so lucky with all of our.
Well, we've been lucky with the person our kids married. Now, we better be a little careful about saying that, honey. We love our in-law kids, but that doesn't mean that they've all had wonderfully smooth and perfect marriages. I mean,
no,
we all struggle in various ways. But we've been in it long enough that they've come through some of those tough times. And I just feel like now's a good moment because they're all doing so well with their marriages. And they're giving us these fabulous grandkids. Although we're a little jealous of Bob and Marva, who we were just talking to the last hour or so, because they're only a couple of years older than we are, and yet they have 22 great grandparents.
Grandchildren.
Sorry, 22 great grandchildren. How did they get so far ahead of us?
I just don't know.
We have two. We have one and a half.
We are such duds. Man. A part of our problem was that our girls married so late, and some of our guys married really late, really late.
Yeah, that's true.
And one of our guys is not married yet, so we've got a way to go on that. friend. But anyway, it really has been fun to be here. And we thought we were going to come to Arizona and get warm. We were so excited because Utah has been really cold. And guess what? It's really cold. So wait for a week if you're coming to Arizona.
So today we're going to talk a little about Christmas. It's almost upon us, but we also want to just kind of think about this larger family thing, this whole extended family, this, how do you manage a big family? How do we get away from saying, when we say family, meaning just, you know, a nuclear family, just parents and kids, because families are so much more than that. And the grandparents and the uncles and the aunts and the cousins, that's what really makes a family rich. And we know from our travel and speaking all over the world, we know how rare it is to have a family as big as ours, because let's face it, that there's nothing normal about 9 children and 34 grandkids. By the way, the people, the Pothiers, the other side of this family, they have 40 grandkids and 22 great-grandparents. And a lot of people, many of you listening, like, that's just another planet. That's, I don't even reference that. I don't relate to that.
And some people, you know, listening may have more.
Yeah, but the typical average would have 2 or 3 kids and maybe 4 or 5 grandkids. And that's great. I mean, the last thing this is a quantity thing. It's all about the quality of those relationships. And boy, we run into so many wonderful grandparents who are doing such great things to be relevant to their grandkids' lives and to coordinate with the parents so that they're not stepping on anyone's toes. And it's just a beautiful thing when a family, you know, works together and communicates together, not without problems. We've just been through Thanksgiving and we've run into a lot of people who are like, oh, I hate Thanksgiving because it just brings the focus on so-and-so who doesn't get along with so-and-so and on the difference we have in politics and on blah, blah, blah. And yeah, of course, those things are always going to be there. But how much better that you're together anyway, talking about it and trying to understand each other. And, you know, because blood is thicker than water. I don't like cliches, but I just believe that one's always true.
I think you're right. We did have a really interesting discussion on the way home we thought we would just chat with you about for a little bit, because it is really one of those things that we hadn't thought. We have this bright young couple that we've done a lot of things with, and we love them. They're the next generation down. They've got a young family at home, and we've done a lot of women's conferences with them and a lot of interesting things, but they've always got bright new ideas.
I don't think they'd mind if we mentioned their names to you. I mean, I'll just tell you, it's Jamie and Mike Taylor. And for several years, we've partnered with them, kind of a neat partnership because, you know, we're the grandparents, we're the older couple, and they're the parents right in the thick of things, raising their own kids. And we've partnered on this thing called the Family Is Awards, which are a way of recognizing social media influencers who are very pro-family, very family-centric, very oriented to parenting and to marriage and to trying to help themselves and others improve in family relationships. And we, you know, it was really Jamie's idea to say, there ought to be a recognition for the social media influencers who are really focused on the right things, who have their priorities in order, who talk about parenting, who talk about marriage and so on. Because, you know, parents, most parents, we know when you say social media, they're like, that's the enemy. Got to keep my kids off their screens. Got to keep them away from all the comparing and all the trivial nonsense that goes on Instagram or on YouTube or on FaceTime. And we've got to do something about it. And Facebook is in their face all the time. And And so it's so refreshing to say, yeah, but out there among those influencers, there are a lot, if you can find them, who have really good advice on parenting and who are really oriented to the priorities of marriage and family and extended families and so on. So we've done these awards with Mike and Jamie, and they had a couple of other great ideas today, didn't they?
They did. It was really fun to talk about how we can find influences or in people who, not necessarily influencers, but people who really prioritize their family. And Mike had a really interesting idea because he's on LinkedIn all the time, and we are not on LinkedIn all the time.
We're on there, but we don't check it every day.
Linked out. I mean, even though they were in there somewhere, but he just said, when I go through this, I find so many who start
their little bios. Their little, you have to put a little, many of you know that are on LinkedIn, you have a little bio, just a short little description of yourself. And most of them will start with, you know, I work for Goldman Sachs, or I'm a management consultant, or I'm a dentist, or I mean, they'll almost always start with their profession or their education. And he said the most interesting thing, he said, there's a certain percentage, the first word that they put on their bio is dad or mom.
Or mom, yeah.
That's their first word, indicating
that describes them.
Yeah, that describe that that's their bio. That's how they want to be known by their peers on LinkedIn. And he was saying, I mean, those people, they have defined themselves as prioritizing their families. And then he said the really interesting thing is, I think we can do a search. We can come up with a search program that will identify those people. And, you know, maybe we were throwing around the number. I don't know if he'd started his research, but we were saying, what if there's 16,000 people on LinkedIn who start their bios with dad or mom? Wouldn't it be great if we could somehow link them in, to coin a term, and put them in touch with other people who think similar in their priority of their lives?
Yeah, we just thought that would be really interesting because they can be such a powerful influence to other young families who need somebody to look up to, who've never had a really good example. And we were just throwing ideas around like crazy, trying to figure out how that we could make this work to really improve the image of parents and family in the world. It's just going down. It's so scary. There are so many people that can't even identify with family anymore. They don't want a family. They've left their family. They want their life like it is. They want to be who they are. They don't want to identify with anybody. And
what a tragedy if social media is bending and tilting and sliding further and further toward subjects that are not necessarily bad, but they're not the main thing in life. They're not relationship oriented. They're not family oriented. And so, you know, this idea of, we didn't talk enough about these Family Is Awards, of trying to recognize the social media that are family centered. But what if there were lists available of the, and that's what we've been creating through this awards program, the 40 most family-centric podcasters, the 40 most family-centric Instagrammers, and so on, and sort of vet them. I mean, sort of have different people look at them. And in our case, we have judges every year that pick the winners. And then say, you know, here's a list. If you're a parent out there and you want to spend some of your screen time looking at really good parenting or marriage or relationship advice, here's the ones that got the award last year, right?
Yeah. And in fact, I was probably, listeners, you're thinking right at this point, why is that valuable? And you just gave me the answer. Because it is really valuable to know where they can go for really good information. Well, we did have a lot of fun talk, and we are going to continue that after this short break.
Be right back. Hang on.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back. This is just something that's rolling around in our heads. We just think it's so important to make families look fun and interesting and exciting and a huge contribution to society. The image of family is just going down, down, down all the time. There used to be a lot of good family entertainment, a lot of good family TV shows. I don't know. I mean, there's some that are good now, but wow, it's mixed with the world in ways that is really scary sometimes.
And having said that, we've been taking our grandkids to movies lately and had some pretty good experiences.
Yeah, that's true. The media, it can go one way or the other. But we went at Christmas time to Wicked.
And we had most of the theater.
We did. It was really exciting because there were a lot of people that were there. And wow, did we have a good time enjoying that. The three-year-old was not as interested as we did, but
little Simon just walked up and down the row and sort of said hi to a few of us going by, but he didn't get restless. He's made it through the movie.
But I tell you, every other age group was just mesmerized by that. It was really fun to see the creativity that is created sometimes through media, through the movies and so on.
Well, then we took the one family that wasn't there that has four little kids, Charity's family, came back from their trip. And so
they have the 8, 6, and 2 4-year-olds.
So we took them to Moana 2. And they just loved it. And we still don't know quite what happened.
We looked at each other. I mean, when we were doing Joy School in the old days, Rick's mother was the pro on doing the lessons and making sure the tempo of the music was nice and slow so the kids could remember the words and so on. And now you go to this movie, and honestly, it was way too fast for me. I don't know what happened. I kind of got the idea they were raising a mountain from the bottom of the ocean and getting rid of the demigods or something like that.
No, the demigods were the
Oh, they were the heroes.
They were heroes, right. But anyway, you know, we're a little off pace here, but let us tell you one other thing we've just been talking about with our good friends, Jamie and Mike. And again, who knows if this will go anywhere, but if something big happens with this in a few years, you can say, oh, I heard that first on an Iyer's on the Road episode way back in 2024. And we want to get to Christmas for a minute. But the other thing we're talking about is, wouldn't it be great? Because within this gigantic thing of social media and within this gigantic universe of people who are referred to as influencers because they have 2 million followers on Facebook or they have 10 million people who've listened to their podcast or seen them on YouTube or whatever, within that gigantic universe, there is a substantial but much, much, much smaller group of influencers who really help parents and help families through the content that they have. And the idea was, can we form some kind of an association of family-centric social media influencers, not necessarily who merge or work together or even share their lists with each other, because good social influencers are pretty protective of their own lists. So we're not talking about that, but wouldn't it be neat if they all knew who each other were and what the specialties were? And here's this podcast that really focuses on uncles and aunts and how they can interact better with their nieces and nephews. And here's one over here that's mainly about grandmothering. And here's a parenting one, but with special emphasis to new moms.
Or with special needs with kids. And really, we have broadened our scope since we very first started this, because there are some wonderful grandparenting influencers that we've met through.
There really are.
They just do a terrific job of contacting grandparents and giving them great ideas. They're just a terrific bunch. We didn't even know they were there. So they should be included, of course.
Totally.
In this. And through the whole spectrum of family. And also great researchers on family history. I mean, wouldn't that be great to include that?
Because totally.
Our ancestors are so much an important part of our kids' lives and our heritage.
So maybe have this association of family-centric influencers, social media influencers, and all. It's almost like, you know, the good housekeeping seal of approval. I mean, no individual parent is going to take the time to do this massive month-over-month search for where the best people are that can help them. Most you might chance on some that you like and you want to follow them. But wouldn't it be great if there was an association where you knew that anyone on this list, according to whether you relate to them and they relate to you, but they're all focused on the priority of families? That'd be pretty helpful.
It would be fun. We'll have to really keep you in touch with that. But speaking of family, 'tis the season of families. We are all plunging into Christmas. And let's see. We'll be really close next week.
Yeah, and this year we're going to just go house to house. We're going to go to five of our kids on either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. We're going to be the traveling variety show, going around to the various hearths and the various trees and the various gatherings.
Which in a way is easier because, you know, you don't have to get your house ready. And in a way it's harder because you have to take some of the food to each of these places,
right.
A variety of things. Like we always have Eggs Benedict on Sunday morning, so we'll take that. We always have a Jerusalem supper, which we've called now a Nazareth supper, on Christmas Eve. And we're going to go share that at another child's house. And then Christmas morning, we're going to go see them open presents. And then one of our families wants us to come later after presents are open. So it's a different world than it used to be when we were up all night putting together bicycles and games and crazy stuff and realizing that one of the main presents you had got put in the garbage a long time ago and it's Christmas morning tomorrow and all that stuff. Wow. Christmas is an exciting time. It always is, but it's also kind of exhausting.
Well, and we always love it when we meet someone who listens to ours on the road and they say, oh, and by the way, we also listen to your daughter's podcast or we follow Shawnee on Instagram or whatever. And I think we've mentioned this a couple of times on the show, but all four of our daughters, Sarah and Shawnee, Sadie and Charity, do a podcast now, talk about what we've been talking about, family-centric. I mean, they do a podcast called In the Arena with the Iyer Sisters. In the Arena, meaning they're all up to their eyeballs in their various stages of parenting and wifeship to their husbands and so on and so forth. And we just, the last two that they've done, episodes 51 and 52, you can get it on any podcast app, In the Arena with the Iyer Sisters. And I just want to really say something about the last two, because episode 51, a week or so ago, was about LDS mission experiences, because they had so many questions of people who are not of our faith or who didn't know much about Mormon missionaries or who had met them on the street with their name tags but had no idea what they're doing. And here's these four daughters who all have been Mormon missionaries and many of whom are now sending their children out on missions. So they're answering questions in there. But what really touched me is they read a couple of the letters from their children who are now on missions.
Or home from their missions.
Or just home from their missions and looking back.
Yeah.
And they read one from our granddaughter, Eliza, who served her LDS mission in probably, I've never been there, so I shouldn't judge, but in, how do you say it, Antofagasta?
Antofagasta.
And Antofagasta, Chile, which is just a big, huge desert. Never rains there.
Not a blade of grass.
It's a barren place. It's tough.
Lots of dogs.
They were reading her. You'll hear it on the podcast. I mean, she starts off saying, "Here's a description of my mission. I've been bitten by 7 dogs. I have had rats and cockroaches in every one of my apartments. I've been chased by random men." And she just goes through this thing that sounds like a horror story. And then she says, "But I've seen people embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've seen Maria get baptized. I've seen Jose get the gift of the Holy Ghost." And it's just this, and the girls are trying to read it and they're all crying because it's such a vivid description of the enormous trust that a parent and that a child has to go to some God-forsaken part of the world. I shouldn't say that, but there's some really tough
area. Yeah, there are places like that, yeah.
And God trusts them enough to be his missionaries, and they trust God enough to go there. And it was just this emotional feeling of how they come home and they've got a kind of maturity. It would take them 10 or 20 or if ever they could gain it for having had that kind of an experience. So I just love that one. And if you have a chance, if you've never listened to In the Arena, listen to episode 51. And then that made me think, Linda, because you were talking about Christmas. Their newest one is on Christmas and how to make Christ the center of your Christmas rather than what am I going to get?
And we just had a Relief Society. And if those of you who are non-members, it's just the women's organization in each of the congregations. But our daughter, Shawnee, is in charge of the activities. So they had, and their Relief Society, and they had a beautiful dinner last night at a gorgeous location.
But here in Phoenix.
Here in Phoenix. But it was all focused on Jesus and how we can choose Jesus, how we can find Jesus.
Seek Jesus.
How we can seek Jesus, how we can really have him part of our lives. And there were some beautiful talks and beautiful thoughts and gorgeous music. And I think, of course, sometimes we forget in all the hustle bustle of Christmas, that is really the main thing that we need to be thinking about at Christmas. And I especially loved it. I've really done that myself, tried to remember that each day, how can I seek Jesus and find him? And he's there, he's everywhere. He's in every face that you see. He's in every tree that you see. He's everywhere. If we just can remember that and make that part of our awareness as we go into this final 10 days or so of the Christmas season, it really would make a big difference.
And Linda's being modest. Linda was the concluding speaker, and everyone thought she brought it all together.
Oh, well, no,
that
just
was pretty
a little
great
bit at the end. But
we know you're all, probably everyone listening is, you know, wow, we've got, you know, 2 weeks till Christmas. Are we ready?
Honey, it's not quite 2 weeks.
Oh, I'm pretty close. Yeah. So we're excited like you are. And again, we know it's tough in some ways to get everyone together for Christmas and not always totally Plutonic and perfect, but wow, what a wonderful chance to be with our families and think about Christ. The single most prominent question we get about Christmas is how do I get my kids to focus more on Jesus and on giving and less on Santa Claus and getting? And for what it's worth, and the girls reiterated this on the podcast the other day in the arena with the IR sisters, they said, you know, we always separate it. We have Christmas Eve is the time when we're about Jesus and Mary and Joseph and Bethlehem and the star and the wise men. And that's the time the kids give their gifts. That's the time they're the givers and we're all our focus is on them as givers. Then we can just let it go on Christmas morning and it's Santa Claus and it's what are you going to get? And it's all okay because we've focused Christmas Eve on Christ and on giving.
So we leave you with that thought. With those of you harried mothers that are out there, it's going to happen and you're going to be okay. I just want you to know that. Thank you so much for joining us and we'll see you next time on IRs on the Road.
Bye till then.